Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Podcast. I'm Todd Sumney with HomeSmart, and I have my co-host here with me today, Rich LaRue. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rich LaRue, Vice President of Corporate Brokerages for the Western Region for HomeSmart. We are happy to be here today, and we've got a great program for you.
Oh, we do have a great program, and the program we have for you today is about how do you best cultivate your luxury brand and presence in today's luxury home market. With Tammy Sims from the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. So Tammy, thank you for being here with us today. I'm excited about today's topic. You know, you are such an expert. You have your own podcast also on luxury home marketing that I listen to, and I know many other top agents listen to. So I'm honored to have you here on the Real Estate Podcast here with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Todd and Rich, I'm so glad to be here. Always a pleasure to connect with you, and always a thrill to be able to hopefully give some nuggets of good information that help people get motivated and take their career to the next level.
I appreciate that. We're going to talk here today. For those of you that are actually following along on YouTube, and you can see what's up on the screen, Tammy Sims has many designations behind her last name, but she's an institute trainer for the Institute of Luxury Home Marketing. And we're going to dig into some key tactics today about how you can actually build a brand, grow your presence, build your awareness in the luxury home marketing space. And you're going to give some very specific tactics for everyone about what they need to do. But real quick, you were just telling me you were in the car with a buyer, right before the podcast. So you are actively in the space, living what you're talking about. Is that right?
That is very true. It is very true, Todd. I was kind of joking because I had a full afternoon, had a buyer out looking at properties. It was a referral from another institute member as well. And she knew that I had this hard stop, but I was like kicking her out of the car at the end of the afternoon. But yes, and I think that that's really valuable from my perspective to be living and breathing what's going on with the audiences, both from my role as a trainer and on these podcasts. So, yes.
Well, we appreciate your dedication to our time today that we had scheduled, but I'm not so sure that I would kick that buyer out of the car, Tammy. That's that's a commitment.
Yeah, I say it loosely, but there were expectations of the time that was available,
right?
And you know, that's another piece of what we do of setting expectations with our clients. So I think it was fantastic, and we had a great initial visit, and the relationship will do quite well. And she's going to listen to the podcast.
I love that. And that's why I guess I wanted everyone to know how important they are that you actually took the time out of your day and your real busy schedule to do this with us. Without any further ado, I mean, let's dig into kind of our tactic number one about how to really grow your presence, build your presence, and build your brand as a luxury home specialist. What's the first thing that agents can do to help build their luxury brand?
Well, I think understanding what's really happening in the market is absolutely crucial, because we get a lot of mass media messaging, and that may not be true for all segments of the marketplace. So really drilling down to know what's happening in various price bands. We spend a lot of time with the Institute talking about price banding, which we'll talk about a little bit more, but really having an understanding of what's happening in the market allows you to communicate more effectively. It allows you to make decisions that are smart and really just sets the stage for differentiating yourself from everybody else that's just kind of going along with the flow.
Right. So tactic number one is know what's really happening and then leverage that knowledge to build your brand, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do you really know what's happening? Well, I think it's really important to use the tools that are available to us to really focus in on, particularly in my case, in our topic today, on the luxury space. So NAR produces statistics every single month on existing home sales. And this is really insightful information for really knowing how things are going, what the market segments are, and what may be happening next. So for example, as of the last data prior to this podcast, homes that are $500,000 or more, and remember these are existing home sales, represent 33.2% of all the existing home sales in the last 12 months in the United States. And so that's, you know, a third of all the home sales. That's significant. And in a lot of markets, 500,000 represents the entry-level luxury segment. And then if we look at just million-dollar sales, we are at 7.3% of all the sales in the last 12 months for existing home sales. 7.3% of them have been $1 million or more. And I've been following this data for more than a decade. And historically, that figure of million-dollar sales was about 2%, 3%. And then when we hit the pandemic, it absolutely skyrocketed. We were almost up to 10%. And so now it's leveled back a little bit. But this is a representation of appreciation, right? Prices have gone up, but also there's a demand. And so that's being fueled by folks that have the financial ability to make purchases in this market when there are other factors impacting, you know, ordinary price points, interest rates, futures, all that sort of thing. So it's important to just have an understanding of how large the luxury segment is. And then from there, that NAR statistic, they actually break it down by price band. And for those of you that are seeing visually, so this is for data for the year ended, the 12 months ended June 2023. And this is percentage in sales year over year from June of 2022, right? And so they break it down by price band and then by region of the US, right? And I'm sorry for our friends that are outside of the United States that this data isn't available, at least to my knowledge, but it's anecdotally useful for everyone globally to get an understanding of where the benchmarks are. So anything in that $100,000 or lower price band is definitely going to be affected by availability, right? I don't have anything to sell under $100,000 in my market. So that's right. That's an availability thing. And then as you increase in prices, you're seeing that the year over year percentages improve. And this is historically correct. Now, while the visual that you might be looking at right now shows that there's still losses, year over year losses, mm-hmm. Think about what we were comparing it to. We were comparing it to insanity. And which, so if you go ahead.
I mean, go ahead. You keep going.
So if you're just looking at this as it's presented to you, you're like, oh man, sales are down. But if you think about what it's being compared to, the sales ultimately, if we go back to 2019, which was the last year that we had normalcy, right, we are in the million-dollar plus range. We're actually still almost 200% in the positive. And so it's taking us some time to actually catch up to those year-over-year gains, right? So this is my point about being really mindful about the data that you're consuming, right? The mass messaging isn't necessarily what it is on its surface. So having that information, following it, and these are the kind of things that we share with our Institute members on a monthly basis. As I'm a data geek, so I follow all this and I interpret it.
I love that. Well, Rich, I mean, this is exactly what we've been talking about on some of our other podcasts about, you know, why the consumer has a certain mindset, but yet that is not really in tune with what is going on. And our job as professionals is really to educate them and update them because, like, so for those of you that are watching on YouTube, you can see the screen, but those that are listening, it says existing home sales nationally June 2023 percent change in sales from 1 year ago. And it has Northwest or Northeast, Midwest, Southwest, and it has everybody's in negatives. Because as you said, you know, 2021 was crazy. So when you're comparing 2022, you know, was high for the first part of the year. When you're comparing those percent changes, you're comparing against the highest in the history. And what really needs to happen is that down at the bottom of the screen, you have the overall sales distribution talking about how many sales are actually happening. And it's actually increased to 7.3%, upwards from 2, 3, and 4 in years previous is what you're saying. So my takeaway is that be careful of what data you're looking at as a real estate professional and be mindful of what your consumers are seeing and present them the data they really need to know, because they don't really, the data in the top chart, yeah, I guess it matters. But the real truth of the story is, comparing to 2019, you know, or just the bottom of how many home sales are happening in that segment right now this year, 7.3% are over a million. So when you're talking to that million home buyer, they might have different figures up in their head, right? That we have to shift and correct, right?
And Todd, looking at talking about the figures on the top, this helps us be ahead of, right? When by the time the mass media says, hey, the market has changed, we already knew that 2 months ago from watching this data.
Right. So Rich, what are you thinking when you're
I'm looking at these numbers, and like you said, Todd, the top of the chart is we've all been seeing these kind of, and I'm going to judge them, horrible numbers. Because everything is down from the last 2 years, but it's pretty even with 2019. Right. But even still, we look at this bottom number here, where 7.3% of all the sales are a million plus, and 7.2% are 750 to a million. You've got 15.5% of the market right there. 7.3% of a $4.5 million a total sales, if we're going to end up at 4.5 million sales this year, is that the number that we're using this week, or are we at 5?
Well, the most recent number I think we saw last week, right, was 4.3, right?
4.3. Okay, so I just ran it at 4.5 because I could like do it
right
part of in my head, you know. So anyway, it's 328,000 sales. That's the number of sales, 328,500 sales at a million plus across the nation. All right, that's a big market. There's a lot of sales over $1 million to be had there. And then you add that in, another 328,000 for 750 plus. You know, I think I'm just like every other agent out there, Tammy, and you know, and I want my share of you know, the 600,000, 700,000 say, well, I guess it's 13,000. Try this again, Rich, with your 13%. Number. I'm sorry. 328.5 plus 328.5 is somewhere around 656,000 sales. That's a lot of sales. You know, we don't have, as real estate professionals, we do not have to have that many sales each. We all just want our share.
That's right.
We want our 25 or our 50 or our 100, or if we're putting together a team, we want a couple hundred. You know, we can squeeze a few out of there, you know, and so I get excited about these numbers when I see them. And when I see that the number of sales have gone down over the past 2 years, I get excited about that too, because that just means that we got to work a little harder. You know, if we're chickens out in the yard, we got to scratch a little harder, but there's food to be had. There's sales being made. That's where I'm trying to head with this, is that, okay, sales are down, but there's still a very significant number of sales being made. And we just want to know, how do we get ours?
Right. And that's the important thing, because also we know that if we work towards a higher price point, we stand to earn more, right? You don't have to do as much volume in order to really have a successful business. But it's about how do you differentiate yourself to gain those clients, whether it's buyers or sellers. And that starts with market knowledge, in my opinion.
Yeah. And how I've heard you say it before too, I'm thinking of that consumer that's misinformed that is thinking, oh, they're looking at these negative numbers and they call you the luxury agent in a panic. And what you're kind of saying is, okay, yeah, despite the visual of year over year losses, you know, and, you know, it's in a way, we know the market is healthy. The market is actually still doing really well. It's just, it was on fire previously. It was exponentially higher. So you're helping correct that mind shift to the consumer, right? You're serving by giving them the truth. Yeah.
And that makes me think of the Institute's Luxury Market Report that we produce monthly that analyzes more than 150 of the market areas around North America, so the US and Canada, that have the highest concentrations of luxury real estate. And so this report analyzes from a global perspective, the health of the luxury market as it relates to increasingly savvy individuals who own real estate, particularly luxury real estate in more than one market, right? They need that bigger picture. So often we only spend time focused on the hyper-local marketing and we forget to communicate with these folks in the global sense, right? Because what's happening in the bigger picture is impactful. But the luxury market report shows that even though the mass media says that it's a buyer's market now, right? Because there's more inventory, there's fewer sales, it's taking longer on the market. Well, if you drill that down to the luxury segment, that is not necessarily true. And so this luxury market report actually lists out all those markets and indicates whether they're a seller's market balanced or a buyer's market, and it's across the board. So that mass messaging isn't true at all for the individual spaces. So being able to access this report at no cost, anyone can download this from luxuryhomemarketing.com and share it with the folks that are interested in the luxury marketplace, but also to read it and have an understanding of what factors and trends are coming into play that are going to trickle down to your local market. So that's a really, really valuable resource.
Okay, so for those of you that are just listening, please write this web address down or this URL, www.luxuryhomemarketing.com. If you go to that website, that's where you can download this luxury market report, June of 2023, you know, July, August, you know, or however. How often is it published? Quarterly?
It is published every single month, and it comes out so often that I didn't even have the time to change the image on this particular slide for the most current one. It comes out every month, about the middle of the month.
But that's the point, is that it's updated every month and any luxury agent can actually download and can use this report. Now, I do think it's important real quick. And I have a question for you. You know, up in the upper right hand corner there of the visual, you know, it says Institute for Luxury Home Marketing, home of the CLHMS. What is CLHMS and why is that important?
CLHMS is the Certified Luxury Home Marketing Specialist designation. And this is a designation that is given by the Institute, and it is a institutionally recognized benchmark for agents working in the upper tier, right? So this is not brand specific. This is globally recognized. And the Institute has been for 20 years now providing training that can result in this. So if you think about the CRS designation or the CIPS designation, it's a combination of education and production. Okay. So it's a very powerful differentiation tool because it says, I didn't just sit in the class and get a piece of paper. I actually have production to back the education. Right. So the Institute provides the training for that, and I think we're gonna touch on that here.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a minute. I I got ahead a little bit. I just wanted to set the stage that, you know, hey, that is something that really could add some credibility for all of you. And we're going to have some information on that for you in a minute. But I guess I'd love to hear a real life example from you. I know you've shared one with me before of how you use this luxury market report or how you have used this in the past.
Absolutely. So, so I have a database of clients that I know own property in multiple locations, right? And so I email this to them every month with a little narrative, just some snippet. I have mine customized so that I also have the hyperlocal data, right? South Pinellas County is where I happen to be located. And so this is a comparison of what's going on in North America. And then as a member of the Institute, I have access to the city reports is what we call them. And so I share this with those clients every month on email. I use MailChimp just to get it out. And then I also have a database of local CPAs, estate attorneys, private bankers, all the people that are interacting with the folks in the upper tier, right? And so I provide this to them in a separate email, just slightly different customization that positions me as an absolute resource for them and also gives them material that they can instantly forward to their clients. And it makes them look great, makes me look great. And that sets me up for the referral business that can come from those trusted advisors on the inside. So it's absolutely a win-win. And I get outstanding feedback about that resource that I'm providing. And it's just, it lands in my inbox. That's the cool thing about it. I don't have to hire it done. It lands in my inbox.
That's a great tactic. And anyone that is listening to this podcast, you can do that because the report is available, you know, at that website URL that we just mentioned, but you just have to actually go use it and go do it. And I love the tactic of the CPAs, lawyers, trust specialists, you know, estate, specialists, right? Working with the states or anything
they're,
like that.
They're the ones that know before anybody else if someone who's a wealthy individual, right? Because we know that that the majority of the wealthy are new money, as they say, right? They are self-made individuals who are often successful business people. And they don't make silly, frivolous purchases, right? They analyze it. And so they're talking to their financial advisors before they make a major decision, which could include purchasing a secondary property in another market or deciding to buy or sell in their own market. So getting the head start on those individuals really can put you in the perfect position to get referral business.
Right. So for those that can't see the image on the screen too, it's got a beautiful luxury home photograph along with the headline on the cover of it. And then it seems like you open it up or there's some additional pages talking about the 13-month marketing trends, about the luxury home breakdowns and various different visuals and little icons that I could see even calling out some of those tidbits, you know, in social media marketing or in information or in, you know, communications. So some very valuable information. So I guess that's one tactic for building your brand, for, you know, growing your business, reaching out, building that referral base, et cetera. What are some other tactics that agents could use to grow their luxury business?
Sure. So let's talk about farming, right? Because I just gave some examples of farming my existing client base for top of mind and farming professionals in my area. But if we shift that to the more traditional focus of farming, whether it's a neighborhood, a geographic area, or a particular price band, using that principle of data drilling to a price band is perfect material to send to position yourself as a hyperlocal expert, right? So Every neighborhood has lots of realtors that are sending postcards, right? And some of them even are exactly the same, right? They're using the same third party marketing company to send a message that has nothing to do with the homeowner. It's just call me if you want to sell. But if you prepare market reports, right, that are sent quarterly, by mail, any distribution method. But if you prepare market reports that really drill down to what's happening in a neighborhood or a series of price points that shows the differentiation of time on the market, list to sale price, all of those things that breaks it apart by price band, that's something that really makes people stop and think, right? And they notice it. So we send my family team, we do a quarterly mailing piece to about 1,800 households in downtown condos with an assessed value above a certain point here in St. Petersburg. And we get calls every time we send it out. We got two listings just in the last quarter that said, you had our listing years ago and you didn't even know it, because we know that you have the most hands-on knowledge of what's happening in our market, and that's what's most important to us. So it's really, really important that you utilize that as a tool for farming. And then if we want to shift to a different side of that, so the neighborhood farming, geographic farming is more in tune with getting listings. But how about getting buyers for listings? So one of the resources that we use is a free NAR tool. It's available on realtor.com, and it's their cross-market demand data. And that actually shares IP addresses for all the computers of people who are looking at realtor.com for property in your area for the previous quarter. Right? This is absolutely mind-blowing information. And what anecdotally was true may be different, right? Maybe the pandemic shifted some things. The post-pandemic has shifted some of those things. But knowing where the buyers are coming from in your marketplace is absolutely brilliant, because what that allows you to do is to share with prospective sellers, right? Let's take that back to the other side and say, you may not be aware, Mrs. and Mrs. Seller, that the largest viewing audience of realtor.com listings in your area is coming from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm going to make it a part of my marketing plan to connect with real estate professionals in Albuquerque to market your property to folks who are clearly showing a propensity to be looking for property in this area. So It is an incredible tool and just out there for free that a lot of us don't know about. And so I use it in every listing presentation. I use it all the time in identifying if I'm going to a conference, right? If I'm interacting with real estate professionals from other markets, I know who is likely to have a buyer referral coming my way, and I will take the time to cultivate a relationship with them.
Right. I mean, Rich, this goes to some of our other podcasts that we've been, talking about, where, you take a market of or a zip code, 23,000 people, but you boil it down into different hyper local things. Notice her email, she said was going to 1,800 people, not 23,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. The smaller the list, the better. Be a sniper. Don't right. Do carpet bombing. I love
That's
it.
That's right. Especially in the luxury space, mm-hmm. because you should be spending a little bit more money to have a quality product with relevant messaging versus trying to do an every door direct.
Right. But going to the cross-market demand report, so I just pulled up. Real quick, for those of you that are not familiar with this, if you just put into Google search realtor.com cross market demand, an entire section of the realtor.com website comes up where it's got market outlook, local market trends, hottest markets. Then it says cross market demand. And you can actually hear, so for fun, Rich, let's put in real quick. I'm going to go here into California. And I'm going to go pull up, let's see, what's the Palm Springs? Actually, I'm going to go down here to cross market demand one more. I'm going to go see if I can find Palm Springs or Desert Cities. Nope, no Palm Springs. What would it be under? Desert Cities?
Well, when we're talking about a metro area, probably not.
Okay.
It's going to be too small. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be areas that are probably a half a million, 750 or larger. There's Phoenix, Mesa, Chandler, number 9. I see it.
Yep. No, I'm going to do that. But here, real quick, I grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I pulled this up just the other day, Fort Wayne, you know, Indiana. And the interesting thing was, do you know where the top searches for Fort Wayne, Indiana are coming from right now? Is New York, Newark, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and then down at Indianapolis, Chicago. I mean, it gives great insight into where the buyers are coming from so that you can really begin to reference your referral network. You can also do some cross marketing. But Tammy, I mean, could you talk a little bit about how when you're talking to buyers, you know, about let's, you know, Tampa, Florida, or a certain, you know, section of Florida, St. Petersburg, you know, how do you leverage that with your customers?
Well, particularly, I get a lot of folks in terms of the out-of-town buyers, the out-of-state buyers, who are looking at a variety of different places in Florida, right? This happens quite a lot. Of people are like, I know that I want to be in Florida. I want to live a waterfront lifestyle, but I'm not quite sure where I want to be. I can actually share this data that correlates to geographic areas that they might be familiar with, right? Let's say that they're from Pennsylvania or Chicago. If I can show them that my area has a ton of people from that part of the world versus Miami that's pulling from New York and some of the other Eastern Seaboard, they can make some assumptions about, let's say, the pace that they're going to find in our various area. And then they can actually go, the sources of people looking for property there can really be somewhat enlightening as to the vibe that they're going to find. And so that can help me sell the St. Petersburg Pinellas County area, or it can help me filter out if they're going to be better off in the East Coast. Then let's find that out early on.
Right. That's awesome. Well, so Rich, what are you like? What are you thinking about what you're hearing?
I love the niche market. I think it's fantastic. You know, it's you take this and you team it up with the list vendor that we were dealing with a couple of podcasts ago. I'm intentionally avoiding their name. I don't know why I am, but I am. but the Black Knight Company. I mean, you can drill down here. I love the fact that you have such a small niche list that you're going after, because that's how you find your market. You get rich in the niche.
So, Tammy,
just bouncing off a bunch of cliches, but it's really important to know your market. That's where you started with this. You know, I mean, go figure. And then you go after that very specific market. You don't have to be all things to all people.
So Tammy, do you use the word hyper-local when you're talking?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think it resonates with them because they understand it as it relates to data, right? So it doesn't matter what the county statistics are. Totally irrelevant for them. What they want to know is what's happening in their neighborhood. And sometimes it's as it relates to other neighborhoods. So for example, we also have a farming strategy for a single family neighborhood of waterfront homes, navigable waterfront homes. And so in the quarterly marketing that we do for them, not only are we sharing the data relevant to their neighborhood, but we also are comparing that with activity in other navigable waterfront neighborhoods, right? Because this is a finite kind of thing. If somebody's coming in from out of town and they just want to have a sailboat, right? They're not tied to that one neighborhood. They've got 12 to choose from. And so we are able to give better information to the homeowners in this one neighborhood because they can see what's happening in theirs versus what's happening over here in this one and over here in this one and over here in this one.
Right.
And so it's just another way to really dice the data, but to be providing hyper-local information. And in this case, it's about a type of property, not necessarily a unique neighborhood.
Right. And in this case, you're comparing them to similar types of properties up and down the waterway, maybe, versus it doesn't really matter because, you know, we all know sometimes neighborhoods across the street can be dramatically different, even though they're only really a couple, you know, 100 yards away.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because it's completely different. It's landlocked. It's not water based. That's right. Completely different, even though they're right there. So close to each other, they're different neighborhoods entirely. And I've seen many luxury agents build their business by really honing in on how they know this one neighborhood and explaining it and differentiating themselves and not trying to use just the general data that everybody else uses, right?
That's right. That's right. And that's the danger of, you know, the advancements in technology allow us to hit the button, hit one button in the MLS, and it's going to spit out a pretty report, right? But we don't know if that data is actually relevant or accurate. And it's the same report that every other realtor that's farming that neighborhood or that type of business is sending. So right. Truly, the way to differentiate yourself is to actually drill the data down and provide things that are relevant, that do position you as a hyperlocal expert.
I love that. So, I know that you have an amazing podcast. It's called Estate of Mind. So for those of you that would like to hear more from Tammy and to hear her topics on luxury home marketing, you please, search out her podcast, Estate of Mind. But I guess also just download that luxury market report that we told you about. It's free. Leverage it. Use it. Look into the training. Look into those designations with the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. Not only will you learn and therefore be more skilled and be more equipped to serve your customers, right? But it'll differentiate you from other agents. So I talked earlier about the CLHMS designation. It's a combination of production and education. And I think if you're serious about luxury home marketing, this is a real opportunity for you, right? So you can find that at luxury home marketing. But all right. So Rich, do you have any questions for
me? I do.
I mean,
yeah, I do have a couple questions. Through the Institute, I would imagine that you have some sort of events, social events, get-togethers, networking opportunities, because I did see on a previous slide that one of your tips is to get to know agents and develop relationships with agents in your feeder markets. I am a proponent and a flag waver of attending conventions and events where we can get to know agents from across the nation. So what types of events do you have? What types of opportunities?
Absolutely. So I'm going to start with the most basic, and that goes to if you're going to take the training, you can do it online. You can do it live, but attending a live class in a feeder market instead of going to the one closest to you is the best way to make instant relationships, right? From folks that could be referral partners. From there, every member has the opportunity to participate in what's called the Institute Network, right? When we were down and couldn't see each other in person during the last several years, we took the opportunity to build a unique platform that is a members only, kind of similar to a social media platform, but it is independent of any social media existing platform. So when people were ditching, some of the major platforms and still are, we created this standalone that is an interactive opportunity. Nearly 10,000 of our members are participating in this Institute network that has different discussion groups. Some of the groups have actual mastermind sessions with webinars or recorded information. And every member has the opportunity to seek out members from their feeder market to interact with, right? So I'm seeing referrals being exchanged in that platform on a regular basis, and relationships being developed, even if it's commonality, right? Like who digs wine or who does cross-country cycling, right? Those kinds of things that can make a bond. And then from there, we have an annual event called Leaders in Luxury. And this is a very small, very intimate event for our guild level members, those who are producing in the $1 million plus arena. And it is a really high level, high touch event that I have not missed in, I think, 12 years we're going to be this year, 12 or 13 years. And I have not missed a single one. And it's a great opportunity. And I'm talking like only 100 people, right? So, you know, I had the privilege of being part of your, growth summit. And there's a time and a place for a big rockin' conference, right? And then there's also, especially in the luxury space, there's great benefit in attending smaller, more focused conferences to really cultivate those relationships. So yes, the Institute offers platforms for members to connect with one another for their own professional development, as well as to build their referral networks.
Excellent. I think we should all check it out.
I think so too.
You too. So, Rich, anything else? I have a question, but I was waiting on to see if you had any more.
No, I think that was covered. In fact, she answered two questions that I had, so I don't have to ask the second one.
All right, perfect. Okay, so right now, interest rates are a little high. You hear about this a lot in the news. Had some discussions about how luxury agents approach the topic of interest rates, but more importantly, even just their take on it, meaning that, and I guess I want to get your thoughts on that real quick, because again, there's this message coming out from the media, but those that are dealing with these luxury buyers and sellers, I guess I feel like they have a different take than what we're hearing about in the news. But go ahead.
Sure. I'll go backwards and weave around from that. So I work with my mother, who's got 37 years in the industry, and every time somebody mentions interest rates, she gets a big grin on her face because she remembers when she was selling double-digit interest rates, right? And so perspective is everything. And if I go back to the fact that a lot of today's wealthy are successful business people, they understand how this goes, and they often are less impacted by the interest rate at the price points that they're buying, many of them cash or even just small percentages of financing, because it makes sense, right? We saw a lot of financed luxury transactions when things were great and we had these tremendously low interest rates. And it's because that was the most fiscally prudent thing for them to do, but they have options, right? And so when the federal rates are up, then they're earning more on their monies, right? So for every action, there's an equal and opposite sometimes reaction. And so these folks are savvy enough to understand that they're just making choices on where they're leveraging their portfolio. And folks that rely on financing, particularly in the entry level, and particularly at the 95% financing, they don't have those options. And so they're impacted so much more significantly by interest rates than those folks that are in the upper tier. And so as real estate professionals, we need to understand that mindset and be able to talk to them about just figuring out the appropriate strategy based on the conditions at the time.
Right. Right. I love that, the appropriate strategy. But I also, you know, it's a little bit of the appropriate mindset as well. The agent that I was talking to last week, Rich and I were at a conference together, and, you know, the agent was in any market. I've been doing this for many, many years. The only constant is change. The market is constantly changing from the month to month, year to year. And I serve my clients. And I know the market, I know what's going on, and I don't let the buzz or any negativity distract me. And my job is to serve my clients, and they have needs or wants right now. And I focus on that, and I help them.
Todd, that is super, super important to think about in the upper tier, because another thing that makes working in the upper tier in the luxury market different than the ordinary price points is that folks that are making buying and selling decisions in the upper tier are doing so for lifestyle and for reasons of things that are important in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. Quality of life, right. Enjoyment. They're far less needs oriented than folks that are making a move, maybe because they need a bigger house. They need a smaller house. They can't afford this one. They got a raise so they can get a nicer, right? They're dichotomies of how people behave, and so that's why it's so important to think about, what is the right strategy for you to accomplish the thing that you want right now, as opposed to the thing that you need and you have to, you have to find the consequences for it. So, another big difference.
Right. Well, again, thank you very much, Tammy, here for being here with all of us today. Just real quick, want to remind everyone, I'm going to go back that one slide. Just remember, number one, you got to know what's going on, know the data. Number two, about the farming. Number three, about the feeder markets, realtor.com with their cross-market demand. But lastly, let's just, the connection with the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing, go to luxuryhomemarketing.com, explore their designation, the CLHMS, and really just get, when you surround yourself with better realtors. Rich and I have a friend who used to say this all the time: when you surround yourself with better realtors, you're a better realtor. When you're a better real estate agent, when you have better real estate agents around you, right?
I totally agree.
Yeah. So thank you, Tammy, for being here with us today, talking about building your brand and your business in the luxury home marketing. You can find Tammy again on the Estate of Mind podcast, as well as right here at the Real Estate podcast. Thank you for all of you for joining us. We hope to see you back on future episodes. Rich, anything?
Thank you, Tammy. We appreciate your information today. It's excellent and gives us all something to think about. We need to go check it out. And I just want to reach out to our audience and say, hey, if you like what we're talking about today, give us a thumbs up. And if you don't like what we're talking about, what the heck are you thinking? No, seriously, give us some feedback. We want to know what you're thinking. If we're missing the mark, we want to hear it. But I think we're going to get a lot of positive feedback here. So, give us that vote with a thumbs up. We all want it. We all want to see it. Tammy wants to see it. Todd wants to see it. I need it for my fragile ego. So we appreciate you tuning in. And Tammy, thank you again very much. Great information. Great organization. Lots to learn there for each and every one of us. And it's a moneymaker.
All right. Thank you, Tammy.
Thanks to both of you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you back on future episodes of The Real Estate. Thank you. Bye.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Like what you're hearing on The Real Estate? Tell your friends about us. Tell them to check out all of our episodes on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. And don't forget to send any topics you want us to tackle to therealestate@homesmart.com.